top stories this hour, the U.S. government reports a second over $1 trillion budget deficit. Protesters in Europe show their anger over economic reforms. American drones kill more people in Pakistan's tribal areas. And also this bulletin, the U.S. military admits that it facilitated Taliban reconciliation talks. Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, the U.S. government has reported its second straight annual budget deficit of about $1.3 trillion. Experts blame it on constrained tax revenues as the unemployment rate in the country remains near double digits. The budget deficit this fiscal year is near $1.3 trillion. That's the second largest deficit. Last year's shortfall was the worst on record. Washington is having a difficult time narrowing the budget gap. This is unemployment in the country keeps climbing. U.S. employers continued to slash positions for the fourth consecutive month in September. Washington needs to create as many as 125,000 jobs every month just to keep the unemployment rate where it is now. Well, there seems to be no end in sight to the recession in America, despite measures taken to drag the country out of the long and painful slump. The U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman now says the central bank might have to intervene to help rebound the economy.
The Federal Reserve remains committed to pursuing policies that promote our dual objectives of maximum employment and price stability. In particular, the FOMC is prepared to provide additional accommodation if needed to support the economic recovery and to return inflation over time to levels consistent with our mandate.
Well, however, Ben Bernanke acknowledged that the bank so far failed in its key drive to keep unemployment and inflation at a sustainable rate. Bernanke said the U.S. risks higher than desired deflation. He also warned that the jobless rate is too high compared to estimates for a sustainable rate. Bernanke made the comments in Boston ahead of a Fed's key policy meeting. Well, it seems that the protest movement against spending cuts is expanding across Europe. In the latest incidents, anti-government protests were held in France, Italy, and Greece. Let's have a closer look.
Angry French people. They're protesting President Nicolas Sarkozy's plans to increase the retirement age from 60 to 62. They see the reform plans as an attack on their social rights. And to show their protest, demonstrators, including high school students, have poured onto the streets across France for the past few days. In the city of Lyon, clashes broke out between demonstrating students and police. At least 27 youths were detained following the unrest. Police fired tear gas at protesters who overturned rubbish bins, smashed bus stops, and broke into Lyon University.
I'm so sorry to say so, but young people today, I don't speak for myself, but most of them are forced to break things in order to be heard. When we talk directly, we are not listened to, we are ignored.
The strikes have blockaded at least 300 schools across France. Refineries, fuel pipelines and filling stations have also been badly affected by the strikes. Reports say France could now face petrol shortages if demonstrations continue.
It can get very serious if the strike continues and if the whole refining system comes to a halt, then we'll have to run from inventory. And at a point in time, you are depleting this inventory and you're running out of product.
They are Italian teachers and students who are chanting slogans against government's austerity plans. They want the government to drop its spending cuts and education reform plans. The government announced reforms and cuts to the public school system 2 weeks ago, and since then, high schools and universities have been blockaded. In Greece, it's culture ministry workers who've been striking for their salaries, unpaid for 2 years. The protesters have blockaded the popular Acropolis since Wednesday, preventing anyone from entering. The latest protests come 2 weeks after a general strike in Spain brought a halt to industries there. Similar demonstrations were also held in other European states, all meant to say no to government spending cuts, but it's anyone's guess whether these governments are willing to listen to their public's demands.
At least 4 people have been killed in a U.S. drone attack in northwest Pakistan. The pilotless plane fired 4 missiles at a compound in North Waziristan earlier on Friday. 4 other people were killed in another U.S. drone attack in the same region. The U.S. has recently stepped up its air raids in northwestern Pakistan. Washington claims the attacks target militants, but many of the victims of the raids are civilians. Pakistan has repeatedly condemned and called for an end to the attacks. Well, to discuss the U.S. deadly drone strikes a bit further, we're being joined by Ramtanu Maitra with the Executive Intelligence Review. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, these drone strikes in Pakistan are supposedly targeting the same elements the U.S. is looking to reconcile with in Afghanistan through its reintegration package. Why isn't the U.S. applying the lessons it should have picked up from the Afghan war?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Right. Now, the drone strikes in Pakistan are targeting the same elements the U.S. is looking to reconcile with in Afghanistan. Why is it that the same approach is not being applied in Pakistan?
Well, the point is that the Pakistani army?
I mean in Pakistan, as in the regions that are being targeted by the drone strikes by the U.S.
Right. I mean, they're targeting North Waziristan, and where the Pakistan army has not really went after the insurgents and Taliban. But I still didn't get your question properly. I mean, what are you looking for?
All right. We'll just go on to our next question. Now, around 1,300 people have been killed by the strikes over the past 2 years. Now, the CIA admits that its targets are at best arbitrary. The UN has called the U.S. out on its practice of targeted killings, but the U.S. refuses to even officially acknowledge the program exists. To what strategic purpose is this playing to, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, you know, this thing is only illegal, the whole drone attack business. But it is also true that there had been a tacit agreement worked out between Pakistan and the United States. Pakistan, of course, denies it. U.S. denies it. But this whole thing is so illegal, and it is being done with the premise that they're going after the real insurgents. But in reality, most of the people that are getting killed are innocent ones. And so even the illegality increases because of this.
Right. Now, over the years, the U.S. has expanded its war in Afghanistan to include Pakistan. There is the increasing presence of U.S. contractors, Task Force 373, the drones, and now a U.S. consulate is looking to open in Quetta, the so-called new Taliban stronghold. Is the U.S. looking to open a new war front in Pakistan as victory in Afghanistan is no longer attainable?
I don't think that a victory is attainable even if we open a front in Quetta itself. No, I don't think that Quetta consulate is basically to open a front. But there will be activities there which may lead to some deaths here and there.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Ramtanu Maitra with the Executive Intelligence Review speaking to us from Washington. Many thanks indeed, sir, for your insight here on Press TV. Well, moving on with the world news on Press TV, the top U.S. military commander in Afghanistan has confirmed the role of foreign forces in transporting Taliban figures to Kabul for talks. Now, this while the government of President Hamid Karzai starts what is called the reintegration of Taliban militants.
2001. An all-out war is sparked off against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. US-led forces fight Taliban militants in the country for the next decade. But now, in 2010, the US is facilitating the passage of senior Taliban leaders to Kabul to hold talks with the Afghan government. US Chief Commander in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, says his forces are only making it easier for the Taliban leaders to reach Kabul.
There have been several very senior Taliban leaders who have reached out to the Afghan government at the highest levels and have also in some cases reached out to other countries involved, engaged in Afghanistan. Indeed, in certain respects, we do facilitate that, given that, needless to say, it would not be the easiest of tasks for a senior Taliban commander to enter Afghanistan and make his way to Kabul if ISAF were not witting and aware of it and therefore allows it to take place.
Many say the U.S. is helping peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban because Washington has failed to win the war and in the meantime wants to make the most of any possibility of a future political reconciliation. U.S. officials don't even bother to hide the fact that they see this as an opportunity.
Whenever opportunities arise that are worth exploring, I think we ought to take advantage of that, and whether they lead to something concrete in the short term or establish a predicate for something that may develop months or a year from now, I think really doesn't matter. We just, you know, we need to be open to opportunities that arise.
After almost 10 years of fighting, the U.S. public and the foreign countries contributing to this war are running out of patience and want to see an end to the conflict. A conflict that began with the promise to eradicate terrorism and the Taliban legacy of brutality against Afghans.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. The U.S. government reports a second over $1 trillion budget deficit. Protesters in Europe show their anger over economic reforms. American drones kill more people in Pakistan's tribal areas. And the U.S. military admits that it facilitated Taliban reconciliation talks.